We are speaking about a very, I think, famous discussion, and we're mostly going to focus on some well-known makoros. We'll try to present them, hopefully, in a way which is nice and clear, and hopefully can also shed some light from the perspective of machshava. The question itself relates to the actions of Shimon and Levi in this week's parsha. We know that Dina is raped. Shechem, Hamor, the people in the area make a certain deal with the children of Yaakov Avinu. They engage in a bris mila. Their plan is to form some sort of a bris, some sort of a covenant with Klal Yisrael. Shimon and Levi, though, respond. And Shimon and Levi respond in a very, very harsh way. They do not want Dina to be with these people any longer. It is not enough for them to free Dina, but Shimon and Levi take their own hands. They go and they kill Shechem ben Hamor and the entire Shechem, Hamor, and all the people in that community. Many of the Mepharshim are very bothered in terms of trying to figure out exactly what's going on here. In the Psukim themselves, it's really not so clear, Shimon and Levi, what they did was okay, what they did wasn't okay. On the one hand, Yaakov Avinu speaks very harshly to them, number one. Number two, as Ramban points out, Shimon and Levi Yaakov Avinu, if it was really the right thing to do, so why isn't, like, Yaakov involved? Why is Yaakov letting Shimon and Levi be people who are going to be doing this? Why was it okay not just to... Again, was it okay to focus on a specific question, not just to kill the perpetrators of Shechem v'chule, but the entire olam that is with them? So the Ramban asks him. Yaakov critiques them. On the one hand, Yaakov himself is not involved in it. In Parshas Vayechi, during the brachos, Yaakov also critiques them. It seems like what they're doing wasn't okay. On the other hand, Shimon and Levi are people that we associate with the Shifteka. Shimon and Levi are people that we associate with. Being tzaddikim and the like. Not only that, but in the end of this week's parasha, after Yaakov sort of goes at Shimon and Levi, so they get the last word a little bit. Vayomru lamed aleph. Vayomru hachazona yaases achosenu. Really, should we let our daughter, the way Rashi translates the pasuk, be hefker? Should we have sat back and not done anything? So what's really the deal? Shimon and Levi, were they justified in what they did? Were they not justified in what they did? We're going to try to focus on a couple of different mahalakim. There is a group of Rishonim and Mefarshim that think that Shimon and Levi were not at all correct in what they did. Rav Hirsch finds it to be entirely unjustified. This is, again, a little bit of a theme in Rav Hirsch. Rav Hirsch throughout Sefer Bereishis is much more comfortable, though it has elements in Ramban. Rav Hirsch is much more comfortable than others critiquing the Avos and critiquing at times Shifteka, to say that what they did was really a chait, what they did wasn't so appropriate. And that's the orientation of Rav Hirsch. The Ramban similarly writes, it's a very famous Ramban. The Ramban says also, I don't think this is so pashut. It's one thing to say that you want to kill Shechem, I can hear that. But to kill everyone else, it's not so obvious. Now the Ramban does pull back a little bit. The Ramban says, well, on the one hand it wasn't so appropriate, but it's not like these people were totally innocent. These people presumably were idol worshippers. People presumably weren't the best people in the world, but it wasn't necessarily the responsibility of Shimon and Levi to really get involved. Lav dafka, should they have been the people that had been as engaged? So mahalach number one is really to critique Shimon and Levi. It presumes something about their actions as having been negative, and it may fit with this certain kind of reverse model of being comfortable critiquing what was going on, especially in this context where Yaakov Avinu seems to really critique them. The Rambam has a different mahalach. The Rambam Hilchos Malachim is quoted by many of the Mefarshim. The Rambam understands that Shimon and Levi were entirely justified in doing so. The reason why Shimon and Levi were entirely justified in doing so was because there are seven mitzvot b'nei Noach. We're talking here about non-Jews. And one of the seven mitzvot b'nei Noach, says the Rambam, is the mitzvah of dinim. They have an obligation to establish a court system. They have an obligation to enforce certain laws. And even though only Shechem may have been the perpetrator, only one individual may have really done the crime, everyone else sat by and didn't do anything. Everyone else sat by and didn't protest, didn't stop it. They all sort of tolerated it. And because they all tolerated it, says the Rambam, they therefore, when you violate one of the seven mitzvot b'nei Noach, says the Rambam, it's clear in the Gemara, the punishment is Misa, and therefore they really were deserving of their crime. So suggests the Rambam, they deserved it because they were really guilty. Why were they guilty? Because when they witnessed a sin, they had an obligation to get involved. There is an interesting angle here, and this is less of a halachic observation, and more in the world of Machshava. Rabbi Sachs, the former chief rabbi of England, points out, I believe. Maybe we'll say it a little bit differently than how he says it. In general, this idea of the Rambam of mutual responsibility, of collective responsibility, that if one person does something which is wrong, that really falls upon all people in that surrounding area to do what they can. So typically we associate that specifically with Jews. Kol Yisrael are Ravim Zelzeh, or Nchiyev Tochacha. We assume that Jews have a close enough connection that it becomes something where if someone does something wrong, so I have an achrayus to make sure you're going to be Mekayim Torah Mitzvot. Also, that if you're violating an Averus, the Gemara says, I have responsibility to protest. If you haven't been Yotzei Mitzvah yet, I have responsibility to try to be Motzi, you Yotzei Motzi, V'chulei Arvus, Kol Yisrael is Guf Echad, etc. What the Rambam seems to point out is that a similar phenomenon exists with non-Jews also. The non-Jews also have a certain sense of collective responsibility. It may not be as ambitious as the Guf Echad of Klal Yisrael, of the real power of Arvus, but on some level, all people as part of a society are responsible for the behavior of that society. And sometimes it can be common to assume that, you know, that they're doing that and it's their problem. The Torah very much believes, not only about Jews, but also about non-Jews, a certain kind of collective responsibility, a certain understanding that really all people are responsible to make sure that that appropriate behavior is being performed. There is a very famous Maharal. The Maharal offers a third Mahalach, not the critique of Rav Hirsch or the critique on some level of the Ramban, nor are we speaking about the Rambam's total justification, because they too were really guilty. The powerful idea, you can be guilty without having actually performed the crime lemaisa. The Maharal says, you got to reassess how this works. And this Maharal is quoted all over the place in the halachas of wartime, of civilian casualties. One of the interesting things in the founding of the state, Klal Yisrael for centuries did not have to have that many lemaisa hilchos melchama, because we were more the victim, historically, than we were the people that had the army. And that's one of the unique things about having a Jewish state, is being in that kind of a position. So one of the questions, this Maharal becomes very famous. It's quoted by a variety of Dati Lumi poskim, of Shaul Yisraeli, Rav Dov Lior. It's quoted, Rav Shechter quotes it in Be'ikvei Hatzon. Tzitz Eliezer, I believe, quotes it, as do some others. Maharal says, this was not a battle of, this was not one against one. It's not individuals who committed a crime and how people are going to respond. This was nation against nation. It was nation against nation. Shechem ben Hamor, they represented a particular ummah, and they attacked Klal Yisrael. And when it's nation against nation, that becomes wartime. And in wartime, so things function very differently. Regular halachas, as the Minchas Chinuch points out, Rav Shechter connected to this, of v'chai bahem, of always trying to protect human life, does not apply the same in wartime. Part of wartime is trying to win the war. It's trying to be victorious. And what was happening was, Shimon and Levi understood that this is part of a melchama right now. And as part of a melchama, so sometimes the people that were with Shechem and Hamor, etc., those people, on the one hand, they were innocent. But unfortunately, they're civilian casualties, which are justified in the time of war. In time of war, says the Maharal, you're really allowed to engage in this. Whether one relies on the Maharal in modern times, civilian casualties and the like, is a serious machlokas haposkim. Rav Dov Lior and Shut Devar Chevron is much more comfortable relying on it. Others express certain reservations. Rav Asher Weiss and Michal Sasher talks about this Maharal also. And it raises a very, very interesting question, which is a question of, at times, number one, how do I define war? But the extent to which, again, it's a halachic question, but one in Machshava also, how much in wartime things go a little bit, you know, we have different standards. How much our goal in wartime is really to emerge as in a victorious way. I want to end with an interesting shot that I think Ariskin quotes an idea from Malcolm Chmielewski in a fascinating Maisa, but I'll try to connect it to an idea from Rav Lichtenstein. The psukim are fairly ambiguous as to whether what they did was okay or what they did wasn't okay. If you maintain what they did was okay, I'm a Maharal person, civilian casualties. I'm a Rambam person, they really were guilty and therefore it was deserved. Why is that the Torah presents it in a way in which it's not so clear? They record Yaakov's harsh response. They record in Parshas Vayechi Yaakov's critique at the time of the Brachos. So what really, why would it be presented in such a way? Lichtenstein pointed out in a very different context that in wartime, it's an article in Tchumen in the fourth volume, that in wartime, one has to always question, we're not only focused sometimes on whether we're going to be victorious. Sometimes in wartime, we have to be aware of the fact that certain actions take a toll on us also. The moral toll that it may take on us, that to murder takes a toll, and it's something which a person has to be very cautious of doing. And it's not murder in the same sense, it's part of battle. But a person has to be aware of the toll that it takes. The famous line of Golda Meir, this is a well-known line, that when peace comes, we will perhaps in time be able to forgive the Arabs for killing our sons, but it will be harder for us to forgive them for having forced us to kill their sons. Not one thing to be killed, something else to have to be someone who's also engaged in battle. And possibly what Yaakov was trying to convey was, even if Shimon and Levi really justified in what they did, it's important that gets put in a certain context. And it's important that we not view it as something which is totally hutra. It's important sometimes that it's more measured because of the kind of toll that it maybe can take. And in that sense, maybe there was a message to Shimon and Levi. Could be technically doing this work. It could be the right thing to do. But what we're going to project in front of others sometimes is not what we're always embracing. It's not the track that we always want to take. And we really do, in a certain sense, want to be cautious about exactly how we behave. It may have been justified and it may have been right. But sometimes the message that we want to project to others is, we don't want to replicate this all the time. We want to be very careful and cautious about when we do things like what happened with Shimon and Levi. So Shimon and Levi do something which is very, very harsh. Ramban, Rav Hirsch, maybe it wasn't so justified. The Rambam, it was justified. Dinim, the Maharal, were dealing with civilian casualties. And different insights as far as collective responsibility, as far as critiquing of avos and the like, and as far as understanding that the nature of war and the toll that war takes on us. Shkayach, and have a wonderful night.